God is, since it's so faithful, the theme this morning seems to be, as God's laying our heart, is His faithfulness at work in our lives. And I'm grateful, and I hope you are too, that God has not given up on me. He hasn't given up on you. And just when we think that we arrive in our lives and we think we reach a point where we think, okay, God is finally done with me, or we've done another mistake, and we say, oh, God's certainly going to give up on me right now. That's when God steps in with His love and mercy and said, do you remember those words that I said when I was on the cross? It is finished. Do you remember those words? Do you remember who the Son sets free is free indeed? Do you remember that if you have been forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that you are the righteousness of Christ in Him? He's saying those grateful, those delightful words over each and every one of us today. And as we continue our study in Acts, there's some more lessons for us to learn today. And you know, I'm excited about every new lesson that God teaches me and He teaches you through the Holy Scripture and the Word of God. And so I want to begin by reading in Acts chapter 9, verse 32-43. And if you can, and if you're able, I'll have you stand again, because this is God's Word to us, spoken to you. It's not just letters on a page. It's the holy words of God. It says, now as Peter, verse 32, went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately arose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there in Joppa, a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas, she was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay, so that Peter arose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all aside and knelt down and prayed and turned to the body. He said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. The Word of God this morning. As we come into this message of Scripture this morning, I want to talk to you about getting out of your comfort zone and going to the people. Getting out of your comfort zone and going to the people. You see, at this stage of the book of Acts, remember Acts 1:8, it says, you'll be our witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We just found out in chapter 8, Philip preached in Samaria, so the gospel had reached Samaria. And now we have the conversion of Paul to Jesus Christ, and God commissioned him to the Gentiles. But you have Peter, who is the big cheese in the church. He's the head over the church in Jerusalem, and Jesus commissioned him specially to feed his sheep and be in charge over the church. Now God was starting to groom Peter, because they had kind of missed the point. They were preaching the gospel only to Jewish people up to this point. And so you can see through this text this morning, as I'm going to point out in a little bit, that God was starting to work on Peter's heart to soften it. Now, you know Peter's background. You knew all the struggles that he had, and he had a lot of times an attitude issue and an attitude problem, but getting out of our comfort zone requires that attitude that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it makes me think of the great composer, or not a composer, but he played the violin so well. His name was Nicola Paganini, if I said his name right. But one day he was performing at a concert on his violin, and it got to the point where it was a solo and it was his favorite song, and he just started playing. The crowd sat mesmerized at his talented playing on the violin, and then a string broke. He just kept right on playing and improvising, and then a second string broke. He kept playing and kept improvising. He had such talent that he could play on what strings was left. And then the third string broke, and there was only one string left. People sat and gasped and said, well, now it's over. He finished the song on one string, and furthermore, the crowd was so overwhelmed, they clapped until their hands were numb, and then he did an encore with the full orchestra with one string. Now, I don't know about you, there have been times, not with this piano, but when I was in another church, there was a small piano there that I broke a lot of strings, and it would go, bam, right in the middle of the service, you know, and I just had to kind of keep playing, but sometimes it was so distracting, I had to stop. But attitude is everything, right? Amen. Attitude is everything. And so God was working with Peter's attitude in this section of Scripture, and he had already kind of, remember in chapter 8, Peter had to go and find out what was happening with the Samaritans getting saved. So now you have half Jews and half Gentiles getting saved in Samaria. And then now Peter, you could see, is starting to kind of get out of his comfort zone. He left his comfortable church in Jerusalem, and he was moving out to these parts that was largely Gentile. Now, he ministered strictly to Jews still, but at least he was getting into the territory of where the Gentiles were. This was a part of Israel, this first part here when he goes to heal the paralyzed guy. Have anybody heard of the city Tel Aviv in Israel? This town was located in the spot where the airport is in Tel Aviv, Israel. And so that's where he was going. It's some miles outside of Jerusalem there, and it's near the coast. And then the next town where Tabitha was healed, that was 10 miles further away from Tel Aviv, and it was a coastal town called Joppa. So you see what's going on here. And I want to challenge us today as we look at these attitudes that we have in our lives. And Peter, of anybody, being a good Jew, was filled with lots of attitude and judgments and prejudices towards the Gentiles. They had this term, they called them Goyim. They still to this day call us Gentiles Goyim. But remember in the Old Testament that Jonah got really upset with God because of those people, those Middle Eastern people that got saved, and he didn't want them to get saved, he wanted God to wipe them out. This attitude was inbred in the Jews up until this time, and even Jewish midwives were forbidden to aid a Gentile woman into childbirth because they wouldn't want to propagate Gentile scum. This attitude was carried on into the church. And so Peter had to go through this process of breaking, and we're going to find out later that Paul had to confront Peter to his face, because Peter, even though he was getting softened up, later on they had a church meeting and they're saying, okay, you guys that aren't Jews, you eat over here, and then the Jews that are circumcised will eat over here. So Peter had to be confronted by Paul boldly to his face and say, what you're doing is wrong. The gospel is for everyone. And I think we're quick to point out and say, Peter's got a lot of problems with prejudice in his life. He's got a lot of problems with getting out of what he's used to and what the norm is of his culture. But we can look at ourselves, and I had to look at myself in studying this passage and say, what prejudices do I have? What areas of comfort zone am I resting in that I'm unable to get out of that keeps me from ministering to the people that God wants me to? So, number one, God wants us to break free from the comfort zone of individualism. Have you ever heard of that term, individualism? It's pervading our culture. That means that it's the opposite of what we just sang this morning. It's all about me. It doesn't matter what the community is about or what's going on around me. I will achieve and I will go in my life and I will be successful apart from other people. I don't even care what the effects of my life are on other people. And so there's this individualism. Now Peter, I like the phrase here. He says he went here and there among them all. Don't you like that? He went here and there and among them all. Peter got out of his, I don't want to call it a pope seat, but maybe, pope seat in Jerusalem and started to go here and there among the people. Now, he had prestige in the church. He was Peter, after all. He was the one that preached at Pentecost and thousands of people were added into the church. And now you find him going from his prestigious position out in among the people. And it's going to get even better towards the end of this. I love how this builds here. But I want to challenge us all today is to get out of our comfort zone to get ourselves among the people. You might say, well, I can join a sport, I can join a club, I can join all those things. All those things are good and they're ways for us to get out there. But what usually happens, because we're individual, the individualism of our culture is that we get, maybe let's say we get involved in a club or a sport and we end up making that all about my time there and about what's happening in the club is about me and how I can better myself or how I can be better at sports or how can I be, and we forget about all the other people in there. Or have you seen those moms and dads that go to sporting events and you know, they say, well, I'm going to go and be among the people, but they spend the whole time berating the ref and yelling at him and all of that and making sure that their child gets justice and then spend no time mingling with people and things like that, right? That happens. So my challenge is try going about our daily activities, the things that we're involved in, with being intentional about engaging and loving people. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Go to the gas station. Go to the grocery store. Well, I'm going to get my stuff and I got to get home and then I'll be there in my private home and nobody will see me and nobody, I don't want anybody to bother me. I'm going to pull the garage door shut. I'm going to pull the shade shut and that's it. But to go out with the purpose of engaging with others. And that's what Peter did. He was looking what was going on. Here's another point is try changing up your daily routines. If you want to break out of individualism, try changing your daily routines. Go to places that you might not normally go. Take a new route. Go to a new store. And you know, I know we're creatures of habit, and sometimes I find myself sitting paralyzed at home saying I'm bored and I don't know what to do. And this and that, and I could be out doing a number of things. I don't want to say that to my wife because then I'll have the honey-do list and there's all kinds of things that I can be doing and get done, right? But, you know, if we just step out, try something new, say, oh, you know, I'm going to drive down and go walk, hike in the woods, or I'm going to go to that new store down there. I'm going to go walk downtown Charleston. It's getting out of our comfort zones and trying something different. But as humans, we're afraid to do that, aren't we? We get all hemmed in and safe, and we got our same roads that we take all the time. And someone says, you know, it's kind of funny. You're in the car, and, you know, like Tanya or Michael, we all have our different routes that we take to different places. And we're in the car, and it's like, oh, no, got to turn here. Well, I can get to the same place by going down this road. And I see you guys chuckling. It probably happens the same with you as well. But when we get out of our comfort zone and there is a different way to go, and if you go that different way, you might meet a different person and God might have somebody there for you to minister to and touch their lives. Talk to people of other social backgrounds and races that you might normally be somewhat, tried to cushion that a little bit, somewhat intimidated by because they're different. I'll be honest, if someone is in a condition in the hospital like this paralyzed guy was, I feel a little uncomfortable, even though I make hospital calls. It's still always a little uncomfortable because, God, what do I say to them? I've never experienced what they're going through in their lives. And I get a bit intimidated and fearful to step out to minister to them. God will give you the words. Just be you. Just step out and let God use you. So, and people of other races, you know, we look at, how about the, would it be a novel thing that, and this is, we have the same problem in the church today. We have Hispanic churches, we have white churches, we have black churches, and all this. And so we go to the Chinese restaurant and we love the food, and we love when they bring them out. They had chicken fried rice and it was really good and all that sort of stuff. But have you ever invited someone from another race to your home for dinner? This is the challenge. Peter was being stretched out of his Jewish-only home. And I have a feeling that if God wants to use us to impact the world in a big way, America is a melting pot. Both. How can God use us to reach out? But they don't believe the same way I do. Good! That's just the very person that God wants you to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not to argue with them, not to put them down, but in a very gracious, loving way, opening up your home. Show of hands, how many have ever invited a Muslim to come and dine in your home? One, praise the Lord. Two, there you go. How many would be afraid to do that? Okay, don't sit on your hands. This is real. This is where the rubber meets the road. Jesus said they will know they are Christians by their love. Peter was really getting out, and we're going to find in chapter 10 as we get into next week, he was really going to get out of his comfort zone with the vision he gave and sent to a Gentile man by the name of Cornelius. But talk to people of different places. Challenge yourself to do it. You know that Mexican restaurant that you love and those people are just behind the counter, they're back there and we call them those people and they bring a good burrito out. Have them to your house. Engage in conversation. How can I pray for you? How can I reach? You know, the person that maybe looks a little cross-eyed and has some teeth missing? Now we're just not dealing with race here. We have a hard time with that too. I do. I know. We want people that walk like us. We want people with the same social level as us. We want people with the same kind of money as us that drive all the nice things like us and that have the same social skills that we have. But very rarely do we get out of our comfort zone. You know, the people that God has used greatly, as we look back through history, are the ones that say, okay, God, there's no way I could do this on my own. I'm afraid. I've never done this before. I've never traveled outside of my town. And as I've shared before, the church I pastored in the south side of Chicago, there are people in that have never been downtown Chicago to see the Sears Tower. Well, it's called something else now, I guess. But they just stayed in that little neighborhood. They were stuck there. It was an old Italian neighborhood. So don't be stuck. Don't be stuck in the pews. When Norma cleans, she tries to get all the glue off the pews so that you don't stay there. Don't get stuck in your easy chair. So maybe Norma needs to come clean your house too. Don't get stuck in your garage or your barn or your field or your grass or your yard or your house. I'm wondering, even Bob being called to the prison ministry, if that was, I don't know if you could think back when you first started doing that, were you gung-ho and excited? It's like, this is what every person should do. Scared to death. Who knows what these guys did? And I'm walking in behind these cells and these walls and he's still alive and there's so many people that have gotten saved. There's so many people that have gotten discipled. because one man stepped outside of his comfort zone. And it's going to be different for all of us, but what is it for you? What is it for you? Spend time and notice what Peter did in verse 34. He goes to the man that was bedridden and he says to him, "Jesus heals you, arise and make your bed." And he arose, and there was residents there that turned to the Lord. But it says he went and found him, and he came down also to the saints who lived in Lydda in the end of verse 32. Not only are we reaching out, but make sure that we take time to spend with other Christians. I really, really despise and hate what's happening in the modern church today, where it's become McDonald's. We come to the service on Sunday and we go home, out the door. Do you know the person sitting next to you? Have you ever had a meal with them? Do you know what's going on in their lives? Have you gone boating with them or whatever it is you like to do, or play basketball with them? Have you gone fishing with them? Have you engaged in their lives? Spending time with the saints is key and important. Number two, second comfort zone that we have to break out of is selfishness. Be observant and find people to serve. Now, this was maybe all the time that we have today. I didn't realize I wouldn't get through all this, but this was such good stuff. But when Peter comes, this guy, Enos, "Jesus Christ heals you, rise and make up your bed." There's some things that the Lord showed me. First of all, practice paying attention to people that have needs. In American culture, we do get so busy that we don't see what's going on in the side. We have an agenda and that's it, and that's what I'm going to get done. Second thing I want to point out is be willing to serve those in positions we might be uncomfortable or unfamiliar with. As I mentioned earlier, number three, remember that you are not the Savior, nor are people your projects. This eats at selfishness because, okay, I got it. We got to do good deeds for people and go out and help people. I'll have someone of a different race in my home and I'm going to adopt them as my project and I'm going to look so good to the church. I'm going to look so good to the community. And then we say, wow, the attention goes to it's all about me. It's all about me, Jesus. But notice what Peter did. He said, "Jesus heals you." He didn't say, "I healed you. I laid hands on you. I have such power. I'm an apostle that's from Jerusalem, and I'm the one that everybody looks up to." Christ heals you. And then, to further not take credit and demoralize and demean the person he was, he said, "Get up and take up your bed and walk." There is something that you have to do to be responsible. Because what happens when somebody comes to us and they have a need in our lives and we try to, and I've been guilty of it as a pastor many times, "I'm just going to save you and I'm going to do everything for you." And pretty soon they become codependent on you and they're dependent and all the glory goes to you and then their life doesn't really change. We have to help people in a way that they take responsibility to believe in Christ Himself and take their bed and get up and walk. How do you help people? I've been so guilty of helping people and empowering them and doing everything for them. And there's people in my family and friends and I'll just jump off a bridge for them. But it doesn't help unless I empower them to make good choices in their lives. To get up off their bed, arise, and walk. Because it's about Jesus changing people's lives, not about you changing people's lives. Not about me. This is reminiscent of John chapter 5, verse 8, and Mark chapter 2, when Jesus ministered to a couple paralytics, the same wording, and perhaps Peter learned from him. But he says, "Christ heals you." Serve people in a way that empowers them. Last of all, always remember others are watching and that your serving of others can preach the gospel to the residents of the town. Now, if Peter would have been focused on, I'm going to save this guy and I'm going to get him out of his mess in his life and I healed you, I'm the great apostle, where would the attention go? On Peter. But instead it went to Jesus Christ, and it says, all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and they turned to the Lord. This is a Christ-glorifying, Christ-honoring lifestyle. Is everybody still with me? It's a little bit warm in here. Are we falling asleep this morning? Maybe I'm just warm because I'm moving around a lot. But the third thing I want to point out is break free from the comfort zone of spiritual apathy. Number three, be prepared to respond to real needs and be sensitive to God. So now we come to the next story, or next part, when Peter travels up to Joppa and there's a woman that was a part of the church. And it was a sad, sad funeral, because when Peter walked up there and arrived at the scene, and first of all, he had to be a listener to arrive, because they said, Peter, come. Peter could have said, you know, it's really great what's happening here. All these people are turning to the Lord, and you guys just go away. It's like a gnat coming to bother me, zzz, you know, buzzing around. Then he listened. He said, there's a need. He was sensitive to God's Spirit, and he went. So he arrives, and there was all these people that said, look, this lady, we're poor, we're widows, and she made us clothes. They were all lined up there with all the clothes and all the charitable works that she had done. And, of course, Peter goes in and reminiscence of Lazarus and the healing of Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. In Mark chapter 5, verse 41, the same thing occurs. But what I want us to pay attention here is if we get too comfortable where we are right now, we'll most likely miss out on a new opportunity God has for us. Spiritual apathy sets in and we stop listening to God and others, don't we? Because when apathy sets in, I sit on the couch or the chair, the attitude of despair sets in, and I'm thinking all about me, that I can't even hear what people are saying around me. I can't hear what God is speaking to me. And so apathy sets in. And spiritual apathy and burnout can also set in when we try to minister to others without relying on God. What did Peter do as soon as he saw the problem? I think it's an amazing verse in verse 40. It says, but Peter put them outside. For one, this is not going to be a sideshow, a freak show. Two, I'm going to get on my knees and pray. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what's going to take place, but I'm going to put my faith and trust in God. And so if we want to break out of spiritual apathy, we have to rely on God in prayer. And remember that God will do miracles even if we are sensitive to His calling and rely on Him in prayer. God will do miracles in our lives. And they may not be the miracles we think, but we know that when we rely on Him, He will do great things. Now the last thing, and I want to close and bring this all together, is to break free from the comfort zone of pride, which is very difficult for all of us. But be willing to humbly associate and spend time with anyone. I like how this wraps up with how God is dealing with Peter. He sends to a paralyzed guy. Peter's never been paralyzed. He sends to a person that died. And Peter remembers back to all of his struggles with Jesus and not believing, and how Jesus reaffirmed him back in the ministry, and how Peter had to have many, many attitude adjustments, how Peter stuck his foot in his mouth, how Peter was filled with pride. You know, remember when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, he says, not you, Lord. And then when he finally said, accepted, he said, God, Jesus, I'm going to go with you all the way to the death, and I'm going to stand. Peter ran the first chance he got. I'm sure all that comes flooded back into Peter's mind. But I really love this, because in verse 42, it became known throughout Joppa that many believed in the Lord. The same thing happened. And he stayed in Joppa for many days. It's a coastal town, with Simon a tanner. Now, there's a lot in that one phrase, Simon the tanner. Let me tell you a little bit about tanners. Anybody ever been to a tanner before? Or take your deer and aren't you glad that you didn't have to skin that thing and go through all that? Well, they use salt to cure, so obviously they were on the sea there, near the sea, and so it was a coastal town. But Jewish law basically said that they had to live 50 cubits outside of town because they handled dead things. And to a Jew, a dead animal was unclean. So Simon the Tanner was a person that was looked down upon his trade. And certainly, the high and holy Peter, the head of the church at that time, from an earthly perspective, would never, ever as a Jew come stay in Simon the Tanner's home. That's how we know God was working in Peter's heart, because he goes right in there and he doesn't stay for one day, not to mention the smell of the kind of job this guy did that was around dead animals and the skinning and all that sort of stuff. He stayed there for several days. You know, this was such a looked down on thing that the Jews even made an extra law. They said, for women, if you were betrothed to a man, you had to marry him, but they made an exception. If you find out that you're betrothed to a tanner, you can break the thing off. Do you see the picture here? Always take time to disciple and love those we're ministering to. You see, he spent a lot of time there. He didn't just hit and run. Often our mindset to go on short-term missions and then we revel in what God did with us that week or that day. But what about the continuation of the ministry? Well, I just went out on the street and three people accepted Jesus Christ. Well, where are they now? Have you invited them in and say, let me teach you what the Word of God says of how to live the Christian life? Is be willing to go out of your way to associate with those that others may look down on if it means staying in a garbage man's home or a tanner or someone of a different culture or race, or God just gets you, their home is a little bit, it's messy and it's not as clean as mine, or they live in a single wide trailer and I'd rather be in a double wide, you know. Or I'd be in my nice big house. Be willing to give up our normal comforts to relate with those of different income levels. Now, I would ask you to take this home and pray over this, because all that I've talked about today, it's a lot for us to process, but only Jesus can break you from individualism and me from individualism and break us from selfishness and spiritual apathy and pride. But I want to challenge you to ask and ponder these questions today. And you know, God is faithful, as we talked about this morning. We're not going to get this right away. Doesn't that feel like good news to you? So the pressure's off, right? I'm not going to go out and be a star and just totally give up all my pride, because Peter didn't. As we're going to find out, like I said, Paul had to confront him later. But we can start our journeys now, and we can make steps of change in our lives. And it starts maybe by asking some of these questions. Do you spend time with people you like, who are most like you, or the people that are just kin folk? How much time do you spend with people that are outside of those areas that are comfortable, the people that we're related to or people that are like us? Would you consider it beneath you to have dinner with people who are not as clean or socially acceptable as you think that you are? Think about that. Do you only spend time with people who are into the same sports or hobbies as you, or who are maybe even the same age as you? We have churches based on age now, that if you're 20 years old, all the 20-year-olds go to this church, but then you miss out on the wisdom from the 50, 60, 70-year-olds. Who do you spend time with? So these are things that the Holy Spirit can work on your heart. Don't think that you're going to get it all right away, and don't think I'm going to get it all right away. But as we're journeying through, let's journey with Peter and his spiritual growth, and we can make a difference one person at a time, right? One trial at a time. One, I'm going to try this week. Maybe it starts with making a goal of saying, this month I'm going to have one person or one family out to dinner or at my house or whatever, or go bowling, whatever you can come up with, that I might not normally associate with. I'm going to get out of the good old boys club for a while and the good old girls club for a while, and I'm going to connect. But you know, I can tell you from experience that blessings just flow when you step outside. The people you meet from different backgrounds, you can learn so much from, and the Lord can really bless and enrich our lives, not to mention they can hear the gospel and they can see the love of Christ in us, whereas before we were just another group or a church or that entity of people that hate us. We can reach out and connect with them. Amen. Holy Spirit, would you help us? Holy Spirit, would you give us the strength to get out of our comfort zones today so that everything that we live and breathe is all about you? I just want to ask at this time, just in silence, just to give you a moment to process this. And maybe, perhaps, there's some things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now and things that you're convicted of. And just say, yeah, Holy Spirit, I'll accept that conviction. I'm sorry for holding back, for living in fear. Lord, we need your grace and help today. And we thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that your mercies are new every day. And even right now, you've given us a new chance, a new opportunity to love someone, to share Jesus with someone that we might not normally do. Lord, get us out so that it could be said of us, Christ Community Church goes here and goes there, here and there, to all the people. Help us, God. We ask for the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would move among us. And Lord, we give you the glory today in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this week, and be encouraged with the power of the Spirit as you step out. And an amazing thing is going to happen. The fears that we have, once we step out of those comfort zones, a lot of those fears go away. They will. As we endeavor to step out and do what God's called us to do. Amen.